and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre, Oklahoma and Elk City, Oklahoma. It's Thursday, one more day to the weekend. Anyway, Thanksgiving's coming up next week, so I hope everybody has plans. I'm going to be safe. Got some farm safety tips coming up, maybe later in the show. And anyway, we'll check it out here. First, let's check out some temperatures in our listening area. 62 degrees at the May Ranch, 66 at Arnett, home of the famous Laurie Kimball. 68 degrees at Hollis, 68 degrees at Hobart, at 67 degrees at Butler. Out here in the Panhandle, we have 70 at Miami, 67 at Wellington, and 70 at Odell. I have more weather for you on this Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll have more on them. They had their big convention last weekend, and which I told you guys yesterday, Jimmy and Tracy Taylor was awarded this District 2, I believe, Farm and Ranch Family of the Year. So another, again, congratulations to them. Deer season's coming up. Our rifle season opens Friday. So we'll talk a little, or Saturday, I'm sorry, Saturday morning, and we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up later on the show. First of all, let's see what happened in the big ag world last night. Wheat futures were lower in overnight trading on speculation Ukraine's new insurance program for vessels sailing the Black Sea will increase exports from the war-torn country. Ukraine will launch a war risk insurance mechanism for vessels that export and import goods in and out of ports along the sea. The program is designed to cut insurance costs for vessels in the Black Sea. Marsh McLennan and Lloyd's of London will facilitate the plan, which will offer as much as $50 million in coverage. Russia withdrew its withdrew from the Black Sea Grain Initiative, the agreement that allowed ships carrying ag products from Ukraine without the fear of attack in mid-July. Since then, however, Ukraine reportedly weakened Russia's naval capacities and or capabilities in the region and reopened routes through the sea. After Russia withdrew from the grain deal, many cargo ships were trapped. Instead, Ukraine remains steadfast in its efforts to ensure maritime stability and safety. The next important step is signing all the necessary agreements. Soybeans were also lower in overnight trading on some profit-taking and harvest pressure. The front-month contract hit a two-month high yesterday, prompting some investors who were long the market or had bet on higher prices to sell some contracts and liquidate positions. The U.S. soybean harvest is almost complete, with 95% collected at the start of the week, according to the Department of Agriculture. That's ahead of the prior year 5-year average of 91%. 88% of the corn crops in the bin as of Sunday, up from 86% according to the USDA. Wheat futures for December delivery overnight dropped 6 cents to 582 a bushel in Chicago, and Kansas City futures lost 3 pennies to 645 and a quarter a bushel. I looked at the updated market a while ago, and it is not pretty for nothing today. Soybean futures for January delivery fell 7¾ cents to $13.77¼ a bushel. Soy meal was down 450 to 447.50 a short ton, and soy oil lost 0.33 cents to 52.09 cents a pound. Corn for December delivery overnight was down a penny and a quarter to 487 and a quarter a bushel. Ethanol output in the 7 days that ended on November the 10th rose while inventories declined modestly, according to the EIA, which is the Energy Information Agency. Production of biofuel increased to an average of 1.047 million barrels a day in the week that ended on November 10th. That's up from 1.042 million barrels. In Midwest, the by far the biggest producing region. Output averaged 987,000 barrels a day versus 986 the week earlier. Gulf Coast production increased at 23,000 barrels a day, and that's up from 22,000. West Coast output was also up 1,000 barrels a day from 9,000. Now it's 10,000 barrels a day. East Coast unchanged. Rocky Mountain was steady at 14,000 barrels a day. Ethanol inventories fell modestly to 20.954 million barrels in the 7 days that ended on the 10th of November. That's down from the 20.989 million barrels. Not too bad. Ethanol storage still pretty good shape. Again, there's a big risk of wildfires through the ag belt. Extremely dry weather is raising wildfire risks in several states in the northern Midwest, according to maps from the National Weather Service. Wind advisories are in effect for a large part of the western and central Dakotas, according to the National Weather Service in a report earlier this morning. Dry conditions will also be a problem in the eastern counties in the South Dakota. Winds will be sustained from 25 to 35 miles an hour this morning, and then again this afternoon with gusts up to 55 in the forecast. Cold front will push across South Dakota through the course of the morning and afternoon. Behind this front, we can expect strong northwest winds, 35 to 50 miles an hour. In southern Minnesota and northern Iowa, wind advisories will take effect at 9 a.m., or they already did take effect, and they'll be there all day today with wind gusts up to 45 miles an hour. So, anyway, don't sound too crazy. Let's see. I think we're supposed to be a little windy today, and then the wind's going to shift this evening or sometime this afternoon out of the north, and it's going to be breezy. And so the forecast lied at the first of the week. I don't know what to tell you. They said no wind all week, and that's what I told you guys. And I'm mad too. We don't need more wind drying the ground out. We need some moisture. Looks like we got a few chances coming in this weekend, and we'll see what happens with that. I have a report before I go to break. I wanted to talk to you guys because somebody told me about it yesterday and asked me if I knew about it. But at Owosso, Oklahoma, I'm sure you guys have heard that a local man there, he's furious after he said somebody came onto his property and killed and beheaded one of his bison and shot another. Who the heck does that stuff? Why? I mean, you're going to be carrying a buffalo head around in the back of your truck or something. Somebody's going to see you. You're going to get caught. Bill Rithke, I think that's his name, says he's out more than $10,000 with the loss of both of these animals. He owns about 30 bison. He says they're like pets to him, and now he wants answers to what happened and why. He said, I'm speechless. I don't know why anyone. I don't get it, and I don't either. He owns a bison on a farm near 66th Street North and Miko, and he woke up Tuesday to the shocking discovery. I noticed blood at the gate. I just thought somebody shot a deer. Then when I come up here to feed, I noticed one was laying out in the field. So I quickly ran out there with a bobcat, and then I noticed the head was gone. Someone cut off the head. He believes those who did it spent time going through his animals to find the best ones. He said they probably cut the head off the dead animal to mount it. The trophy they took him, they were out here for a while because it's the best one out here. The nicest horns. The one they shot a cow, but the head looked like a bull. But then we got another bull that we're going to put down. Bill says he spends most of his time with the animals. I work 7 days a week. Put it towards this. Most people go on vacation. I go buy buffalo. They come right here to the fence because they're expected to get fed. If you come up to the fence, they'll eat right out of your hand. And somebody shot them. He believes someone will be talking about it or someone will see the head somewhere. And I hope so too. He hopes people will do the right thing and call the sheriff's office. I did read later on in this deal that if you guys hear anything, Tulsa County Sheriff's Office is the one that you want to talk to. But I did read somewhere where they said that's a felony for animal cruelty, $5,000 fine, and it's going to be some a jail time over this deal. So, I mean, I don't know why people want to do that. Well, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. When we come back, I'll have some livestock and updates on prices and got the results from Hobart coming in. And I might even have Rex Fleming on today. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to surprise you if we do. Anyway, I'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A question about that transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it. And it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back. McLean, Texas. 63 degrees, humidity 64, dew points 51. Winds are out of southwest at 19 miles an hour with gusts up to 27. Peak wind gust today so far, 34 miles an hour. No rainfall this month, no red flag minutes today, no sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature in McLean, Texas, 60 degrees. All right. Currently here in the at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanette Center that we have professionally installed by Gabe Edney in our studio, 65.5 degrees, 66% humidity. Need that humidity to go down. Those guys are wanting to get some cotton done, so we'll see what happens there. All right, let's see what the markets are doing right now. Only thing in the positive today on this whole chart, I'm looking at it right now, is corn and sugar. And do those two things go together? I guess they can. Anyway, corn, December, 475, up a little over 4 cents today. March is 493, up over four. Soybeans for January, 1369, down 15. March, 1383, down 16. And May's 1394, down 16 also. Soybean meal down $2 today. December, 467.20. January, 449.30, down 270. And March is 434.80, down $2.10. Soybean oil is down a little over a penny at 51.96 cents a pound for December. 51.26 for January. March is 50.94. When I do that, my screen's changing. So anyway, bear with me. Hard red winter wheat, December's down over 9 cents today at 6.30. March is 6.38 at down 10 cents, and also down a little over 10 cents is May at 6.44. Cotton is down a little bit today. December is 78.28. March is 80.58. May is 81.37. And July is 81.92. Sugar, sugardaddy.com over there at Dale High. March sugar is at 27.19 cents per pound. How about that? West Texas Intermediate crude oil, December 72.44, down over $4 a day, and down over $4 in January also at 72.63. Natural gas is down too, but it's still over three, just barely though. December's at 304, January's 322, and February's 317. The Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P are all in the red today. Not terrible, but they are in the red there today. Okay, let's check out what's going on with live cattle. December live cattle is down $2.62 at 175.15. February's 175.70, down 307. April's down 292 at 177.55. Feeder cattle for November down, not too bad, 10 cents, 229.32. January's down $4 and a nickel at 226.85, and March is down $3.80 at 229.70. And April feeder cattle are 233.35, down $3.95. Man, the futures on those two categories, live and feeders, have taken a really big hit here in the last couple of weeks. Lean hogs are also in the red. Where'd they go? There. December 70.70, February 74.90, April 80.82, and May is 86.30 on the lean hog. So there's your update on that market. Let's see here. I gotta get this going on. Bear with me here a second. There we go. So I didn't get to talk much about hay on Hay Day Tuesdays. We had Brent Metter in here, and we was talking, had Brandon on. So I want to catch you up a little bit here before we go to our next break on storage, hay storage. Is beat spoilage with better storage. And this is a really, really good article put out by Mark Johnson with the Oklahoma State University. Like refrigerated foods left on the counter, bales stored outside have a greater risk of spoilage. Mark Johnson with the Oklahoma State University suggests good hay storage is always important, but controlling spoilage in bales is especially critical in regions where drought conditions hinder forage yields and hike up the price of hay this year. Baling hay at a higher density can help reduce oxygen infiltration, and using net wrap instead of baling twine, baler twine, may also help you with dry matter loss. That said, these measures taken during the haymaking process will only be effective if the bales are stored properly for the long run. The best case scenario for hay storage is keeping bales in a barn or similar building. In fact, Johnson notes dry matter losses for round bales kept in a barn up to 9 months can be less than 2%. But barn storage isn't always an option, and I can verify that. Although hay that is stored outside will eventually incur more spoilage, producers can minimize these losses with appropriate site selection, organizing your bales, and your bale protection. Location, location, location. Start by choosing a well-drained area to limit the amount of moisture bales can absorb. Johnson suggests using old pallets and fence posts, railroad ties, or tires as a base to keep bales off the ground. A 6-inch layer of coarsely ground rock can also act as a barrier between bales and soil moisture. Anything can be done to maximize drainage and minimize moisture within and around the storage site will be beneficial. And as you guys know, you go driving around, you'll see all these people, a lot of these people that store their hay right. You see them on the side of hills. Maybe there's not any grass there, and they just cover it up with hay bales, and it helps. It drains. You got drainage, you'll have less spoilage. After selecting a suitable site that's outside the shade, arrange bales end to end in rows that stretch north to south. This will ensure better airflow and exposure to sunlight, which will boost hay drying rates. Johnson also recommends allowing at least 3 feet space between rows and eliminating vegetation amongst bales to encourage even more airflow. Cover the cost. Avoid stacking bales in a triangle formation. Now, I've seen this out there, and it's everybody's business, but I've always wondered why. This can lead to more spoilage in the bales and bottom levels of the pyramid. If possible, Johnson encouraged producers who have already stacked hay this way to reposition those bales into single-tier rows to slow the rate of spoilage that can occur. Once bales are situated, cover them with plastic or canvas tarp instead of leaving them unprotected. Although these coverings may not be an expense that was originally factored into the cost of production, it can be one that pays for itself when more dry matter is available for feeding. Producers also are encouraged to consider the cost-to-benefit ratio of providing this protection. Johnson asserts factors to consider include the value of hay, projected in storage losses, local environmental conditions, the cost of providing protection, and how long will that hay be in storage before it's fed. So there you go. Yeah, I'm not downplaying the way people stack their hay. How they do it is their business. But the more if you don't take care of your haystacks and have the right wrap and stuff on them, you know, you think, all right, well, instead of a full bale, I'm going to feed 3/4 of a bale or 7/8 of a bale or even have more spoilage than that. But you think about that a little bit. How much money that is per bale in the long run. And well, I've already baled the hay. I've already stacked it. It's good to go. Well, with the input cost and the cost of equipment and putting up hay and the cost of hay these days, everybody needs to change to go to a different mindset. You need to be thinking about, I can't afford to go build a barn. I'm sorry. I know what I can do, but what I can do is stack my hay where it gets good drainage and have the right wrap. I'm a big fan of John Deere wrap on my hay. It just handles the ultraviolet rays a lot better. There's this 6 bales right there by the end of the road there where my hay field is. It's been sitting there 3 years. They're still round. The hay wrap's still good. And yes, I know when I pick up that hay bale, the bottom's probably gonna be rotted out, but the hay still looks good because it's the wrap has been shedding that water really good, and I have high density bales. So it's just something to think about. A lot of hay waste at today's prices at $80 to $100 a bale right now, it's a lot of money. So just think about it. We're going to take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We come back, maybe we'll have Mr. Rex Fleming on to talk about his upcoming sale coming up this Saturday in Hobart, and it has grown, and man, this looks to be a great replacement sale he's having coming up. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I say the future is ours. Can you dig it?
Oh
you sure can, especially if you rent from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Dig up those old sewer lines with a backhoe or mini excavator. Save time and money. Rent a post hole digger to help with your next fencing project. You can dig it today when you rent from DJ's Rentals on South Main in Elk City.
Can you dig it?
To find out more, visit DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 13th. 1,571 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 508 brought 252. 7 at 574 brought 267. 11 at 631 brought 231. 5 at 1019 brought 179. 4 head of heifers at 520 brought 216. 9 at 534 brought 214. 10 at 578 brought 216. 44 at 696 brought 215. 20 at 871 brought 207. 7 at 876 brought 190. 5 at 1073 brought 160. Butcher cows were 28 to 121. Butcher bulls brought 75 to 112. Bred cows were 1335 to 1350. Pairs brought 1875 to 1900. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
What's it like having unlimited internet from Sparklight? It's like bellying up to an all-you-can-see digital buffet and indulging in endless cat videos without getting a single data cramp. And now, Sparklight's ultra-fast, reliable internet includes unlimited data at no extra charge. Get 300 meg internet for just $39.95 a month for 18 months. No contracts, free installation. Call 888-998-8630. Sparklight, a new breed in high speed. Limited time offer. Regular rate of $70 a month applies after promotional period. Subject to change. Restrictions apply.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather for Camargo, Oklahoma, for the northwestern part of the state. 68 degrees there. Dew point's 52. Humidity's 56. The winds are out of the south-southwest at 26 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to 36. No rainfall to speak of in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 53 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.6. Sunset at 5:30. Today, breezy and 71 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, 41 degrees. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny. The winds will be out of the north, 10 to 21 miles an hour. Well, on the phone with me right now is Mr. Rex Fleming, owner and operator of the Hobart Stockyards in this capital, big town, Hobart, capital of Kiowa County. How's it going, Mr. Rex?
It is going good. We're unloading all the cattle for the special sale coming Saturday, starting about 11 o'clock.
All right. Well, you had anything stick out yesterday at the sale, your regular weekly sale?
Our weekly sale, everything's so good. The we could call it a steady market from last week. The cow market, butcher cow market, was maybe just a tick cheaper. But everything's so good. We had a lot of good buyers. We had a lot of good calves.
All right, good. Well, coming up this Saturday at 11 a.m., and also I'm going to throw it in there while I'm thinking about it. Lunch will be served there, and your fall special replacement sale begins, and it looks like you got a dandy on board this year.
We have a lot of good cattle, premium beef. We've unloaded hundreds of the purebred Red Angus cows, bred to low birth weight Red Angus bulls. We've already unloaded the 27 to 26 Hereford cows. These Hereford cows, they originated out of Montana about 2 years ago. They got some black bolly calves on them that's weighing about 300 pounds. The cows are bred back. The calves have all been worked. They're just ready to take home and turn out.
Ready to go.
They're ready to go.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Hey, I like the part that those calves come out of some Davis bulls. So that means it's got some local blood.
They come out of Davis bulls, and they are good. They are just little hairballs, black bollies, and they're growing good. It won't be long when those calves will be ready to wean.
Okay.
We just got through unloading a set of about 40 Angus cows. They're carrying good flesh, very good flesh, bred to all good Angus bulls. We got another set of about 50 Angus cows. They're bred to Charlet bulls. We got a set of come right out of Erick. They're Angus heifers. They're big, stout heifers. They're all AI'd. We just have a good lineup. We got something for everybody.
And you also you still have the breeding bulls coming in.
Still got the breeding bulls. We won't have but about 12 to 20 breeding bulls. We have some good Red Angus bulls. We have some good Charlet bulls. They're coming from the 007 ranch down by Chickasha. Come from Cody White.
Oh,
so we got a nice set of bulls. Nice set of bulls come from Canute. So we'll have something. I want everybody to stay here. I know there's a lot going on Saturday morning. I think it's deer season. There's a heifer show in Elk City, but we sure like for them to come here. We don't want them to miss this sale here.
Well, deer season should be over by 7:15 that morning. If you know
correct.
What you're doing. And then the heifer show, as Brent was saying on here the other day, it's going to start, and they've been getting it done pretty quick. So there's no reason why you can't go shoot a deer. Heifer show. And then as soon as the heifer shows up, grab something, a Dr. Pepper, and don't get a speeding ticket and head right straight to Hobart. Why can't you do that
all in one day? That's exactly right. We want to get this thing through with so they can go home and watch ball games.
Oh yeah. You've been talking about a lot of Red Angus and Black Angus, and we got the Hereford cows. I know the consignments change any day. Has anything updated? Is there any Black Baldies or any other cows coming in?
Got a set of Black Baldy cows and Angus cows. They'll be pairs. Had a lot of little streak face calves on them. So you bet we have something for everybody.
All right. Well, Rex, if anybody's got any questions or they want to see what you got going on, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me is right here at the office at 580-726-3306. Or you can call on my mobile. I'm welcome for a call. It is 580-331-8547. And if you want to look on our flyers, you can bid online. You can register with LMAauctions.com. Or you can download it to the LMA Ringside app, and you can bid online. So there's no reason why you can't buy something.
No, and if you're on Facebook and you want to see what he's already got consigned, go to Hobart Stockyards Facebook page, and there is a consignment list there. Plus, we have it in our Penny News. You can look in there in the Penny News and see what all he was just talking about as far as the Red Angus, the bulls, the white face, everything's on there. And you can be prepared when you show up with that checkbook. Say, yeah, I talked to the banker. He said, I need to buy them all. So I'm here, Brex. What's it going to take?
It's going to take just, we'll get the trucks and here we go.
Yeah, just bring the trucks with you.
Bring the trucks. We got places to park the trucks. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've done a wonderful job with the sale barn over the last 3 or 4 years. So it's clean. I like it. It's just clean. And so we appreciate you coming on today and taking out of your busy time. So you better get back to your consignments, getting them unloaded, sorted, and way to go.
Thank you, Jimmy Clark. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Thanks, Rex. Have a good day.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. If you're needing some replacements, that's where you want to go. That's going to be a wonderful sale going on. And let me see here. I got a deal that I read. Where was that at? I lost it. Oh, I just found it. Never mind. Okay, this is a deal. This is a pretty interesting article in the Enid paper. During the past year, heifer retention has been the hot topic due to weather conditions and the shrinking U.S. beef herd. Although the number of heifers sent to the feed yard is up in recent inventory report, local producers still are retaining some heifers to develop for their own use. Because of this, beef producers who have saved replacement heifers might be interested to hear about the research reevaluating heifer development guidelines. What is the best time to breed and for a replacement heifer? When is it? When do you guys think it is? 580-225-9697. But I'm going to go through this, and you guys tell me when you think the best time to breed a replacement heifer is. Traditionally, guidelines have suggested that heifers be 60 to 65% of mature body weight by breeding time. However, in the past 20 years, researchers have success breeding heifers earlier at lighter weights, 50 to 59% of mature body weight. And you're going to stick with me on this story because it's interesting how they come up with this. As if you would expect, breeding heifers at 55% of their mature body weight incurs less input cost. Waiting to breed heifers at 65% of mature weight obviously will incur more costs because these heifers will be expected to become pregnant solely due to the heavier weight at the start of breeding. A great deal of research has been done to compare the performance of heifers as developed to various weights. One such study at the University of Nebraska found that developing heifers to 53% versus 58% of mature body weight based on a 1,200-pound cow, that's what we're basing this on, reduced development cost by $22 per head. That don't sound like much unless you got 100 head. That's quite a bit of money. In this study, heifer cycling at breeding time were 74% and 85% in the lighter group and the heavier weight groups, respectfully. Pregnancy rates were very good overall, 92% for the lightweights and 88% for the heavyweight groups. Why would a producer take the risk of breeding heifers earlier and then finding that some of them didn't get bred? It is proven fact that when trying to breed heifers earlier, there is a chance that a larger percentage of them won't get pregnant, but they proved that wrong. 92% for the lighter ones and 88% for the heavier ones. So there you go. For producers who are considering breeding heifers earlier but have concerns about reduced pregnancy rates, I would suggest retaining more heifers than needed. Also, those that have knowledge of their mature cow weight and the current weight of the heifers can do some quick math to see if these heifers are a candidate for early breeding. For example, a producer with a 1,200-pound mature cows may have traditionally started breeding heifers after they reached approximately 720 pounds, which is 60% of the mature weight, by the way. That same producer desiring to target heifers for breeding at 55% of mature weight would breed heifers at around 660 pounds. The heifer development discussion lends itself to a much broader topic about cow efficiency. By decreasing the age at which the heifer is bred and has her first calf, the future cow is more likely to produce more calves in her lifetime. Research has shown that early bred heifers will get pregnant earlier as cows, which increases the pounds of calves she does in her lifetime. Earlier born calves are naturally heavier at weaning weights, which means more pounds for the market for the next stage of production. Why are we now able to breed heifers earlier? Here's what I was wanting you guys to wait on. Increased research has allowed the development of new ideas, but our cow herd has definitely changed over the last several decades, and I agree with that. Research suggests the establishment and increased use of EPDs, and we've talked about this for the last 2 years. EPDs have contributed to changing its reproductive performance. Also, the genetic trend for increased mature cow body weight in many breeds has impacted the age of puberty. A great deal of research has been done on heifer development, and there really is no right or wrong method. Producers should be realistic and apply the method that best matches their financial circumstances, production methods, and available resources. Nutrition will account for a large portion of the heifer development cost, despite which method is selected. Seek out nutritional assistance from your county extension educator, area specialist, or nutrition consultant to ensure moderating nutrition costs associated with the development. So there you go. How about that? So EPDs. So, you know, we've talked about this a couple of times. Go to the bull sale, and this guy said, man, I really like the way that bull looks over there. He's flat through the back, got the front end looks good, he's standing good, he walks good. Well, you need to pay attention to those EPDs nowadays, because it'll tell you a lot more than your eyeballs, and it works. I promise you guys, looking at the EPDs on your deal, on the bull sheets will work, and you might end up with the ugliest bull in a bunch, but it might be a steal, but I doubt it. There's a lot of guys getting wise on this EPD deal. So anyway, check it out. Check with the your nutritionist. Check with the OSU agents out in Texas, your AgriLife guys. Just check it out. It'd be worth it, and you might be breeding your heifers a month earlier. You never know. See what happens. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
SEI Agritech, excited to announce construction is beginning at the SEI Agritech Center in Elk City for their new product line. They'll be blending LNC feed with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. This will be the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City will be opening their new facility in the near future at their current location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, you can give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update.
I've picked the big city of Eric, Oklahoma, home of Roger Miller. 67 degrees, dew points 52, the humidity is 60. The winds are out of the southwest at 21 miles an hour, wind gusts at 31. No rain to speak of, some fog here in the last couple of days. Registered is 0.02 inches in the last 10 days, or that's 21 thousandths of an inch for Roger Mills people that live there in the southeast corner of that county there. Anyway, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 54 degrees, fractional water, 1-day average 10-inch, 0.6. Sunrise at 7:14 a.m., sunset at 5:33, mostly cloudy today, 73 degrees, 21 to 22 mile an hour winds, and it's there. Partly cloudy tonight, the winds will switch out of the north to 6 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, sunny, north winds 13 to 21 miles an hour with higher gusts and 65 degrees. Today is Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. And what we got here today is Oklahoma Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization that gives a voice to Oklahoma farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. Directed and guided by Oklahoma farmers and ranchers, Oklahoma Farm Bureau advocates for our state agriculturists and rural communities and around our state, at our state capital in Oklahoma City, and in the halls of Congress in Washington, D.C. Well, they just had their yearly convention meeting, whatever they call that, past weekend. And the Oklahoma Farm Bureau delegates reelected Rod Mosell, I hope I said that right, as president for a final 2-year term. Rod is a greenhouse owner and operator from Bethany, Oklahoma. Easy to join the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Just go by their office right there in Cheyenne. Memberships are just $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts from various businesses. 580-497-2579, oklahomafarmbureau.org to check it out. And they're always active on their social media packages. So anyway, we got that. All right, with deer season coming up, or let me rephrase that, rifle season coming up, let's check out the rut report. You guys want to check the rut report out? Let's check it out. Bucks reported moving as deer gun season arrives. The most highly anticipated day of the year for thousands of Oklahoma hunters arrives this Saturday, November 18th, as the state's deer gun hunting season officially begins a half hour before sunrise. For many sportsmen and sportswomen, there will be the best time to put venison in the freezer and maybe hang a trophy on the wall. Deer gun season will run 16 days through Sunday, December the 3rd. This year's rut report indicates plenty of hunter success is likely, as plenty of deer movement is being reported in all regions of the state. See all the latest reports from the field by region. Big game biologist Mr. Dallas Barber, I know him myself, with the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation, is reminding deer hunters that harvesting antlerless deer remains an important part of the state deer herd management strategy. So please, if you guys can shoot a doe where your population is little much, please do. Don't. Somebody will take it. If you're not needing the deer meat, somebody will take it. Antler's deer harvest is even more important when populations are growing, Barber said. To encourage a greater harvest of does, the department allows each hunter to take as many as 8 antler's deer combined over the various hunting seasons. Not for just rifle season, that's all of them. So don't be going out there blasting 8 does. And when Lieutenant James Edward or Captain Jeff Hedrick come up to you, hey, that's a little much. Well, I heard it on Day and Ag. You guys told us we'd get 8. I did not say that. So anyway, it has 8 antler's deer combined over the various hunting seasons and has increased open dates to antler's deer harvest. Hunters who apply for this year's controlled hunts may take even more antler's deer, as controlled hunt deer harvest do not count towards a hunter's overall season limit. ODWC continues to promote the Hunters in Know, Take a Doe public awareness campaign. Barber praised hunters for their voluntary participation in the past, and which has helped with overall herd health across the state. Every time a hunter takes a shot, he or she makes a decision about the deer herd management. About 95% of Oklahoma's land is under private ownership. Hunter participation is critical to effectively managing deer statewide. To help deer hunters plan their opening day outings in the forest or in the field, here are some most recent reports from the Wildlife Department field and personnel. So let's go over just a couple of them, the Northwest and the Southwest. The Northwest region, current buck rutting activity. Some smaller bucks have been on the move over the past week. Mature buck activity has not kicked in yet, according to this. Habitat conditions are great in the Northwest, from what I've seen. Vegetative cover is heavier than normal due to cool, wet summer. Conditions are currently dry, but most winter wheat is up and being used by deer as a food source. Hunter and landowner reports. Landowners are reporting good deer numbers this fall. Hunters were not seeing much for the deer movement this past weekend. Warm temperatures this week have slowed down deer activity. Best public land bets. The number of wildlife management areas open to deer gun hunting through the Northwest region. However, some WMAs are closed to the deer gun season and some have controlled hunts. Be sure to consult in your 23-24 Oklahoma fishing and hunting regulations pertaining to the WMA you intend to hunt. And that would be the smartest thing you could do. Don't show up. Oh, well, 5 years ago I could. It doesn't matter. Check the 23-24. Call your local game warden or biologist. Check it out. So anyway, there's good stuff. Here's one of the things, biggest mistakes to avoid. Research the hunting regulations. There you go. Be prepared to hunt all day if you can, not just morning and evening. Always use the wind to your advantage. And there you go. Southwest, let's check it out real quick before I run out of time. Where are you, Southwest? There's Southeast and there's Central. Southwest region, there we go. Reported by my favorite French Quarters guys, Marcus Thibodeau, Southwest Regent Senior Biologist. He's saying that bucks are chasing does have been observed across the region. Smaller bucks are fighting. Some mature bucks have been seen in daylight area. It varies across the Southwest region as far as habitat conditions. It could have been whether you're north of I-40 or south of I-40. Hunter and landowner report seeing mature bucks start to chase does. Public land, best bets, black kettle, pack saddle, and Ellis County WMA. Advice for deer hunters, pay attention to the boundaries and roadside road closed signs. Hunt all day. Biggest mistakes to avoid, time putting in the scouting and success going hand. Be mindful of the wind and be patient. There you go. The weather forecast for this weekend looks pretty good. And then we'll get that front moving in. So I bet there's some movement Saturday with that front coming in Sunday and the rain and stuff. So I would say be prepared to hunt all day Saturday and just text people for update on the football scores that you need. But anyway, good luck out there. Like I said, if you have any issue, especially on state land, if you got any deals, you can remember, because they're like down there at Lugard, I don't think rifles are allowed some other stuff. You just check into all this stuff and be sure that it is, because the game wardens, they're going to be out doing their job. This is the busiest day of their week, and they're not out there to give you a ticket on purpose. It's because you messed up, not them. They're just there to ensure you don't do it again, and might cost you too. Anyway, you guys have a great day. See you tomorrow. We'll do some more hay stories tomorrow, and appreciate your participation in the show today. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City. And I don't want to forget my KWFX 100.1 out of Woodward. See you guys.
It's loaded with action and suspense.
This is KECO, Elk City.